last word on sport on Today FM.
With Carlsberg, official beer partner of the FAI. Probably the best partnership in the world. Get the facts, be drink aware, visit drinkaware.ie.
Rugby, hurling and Gaelic football to come here on The Last Word in Sport, but let's start with soccer and maybe something of a damp squib of a final weekend, because Manchester City are the champions, Arsenal, Manchester United and Newcastle all have the Champions League spots. Nothing at the top end of the table to really look forward to, so it's all about relegation at the bottom, and it's between Everton and Leicester City because Leeds are doomed. After all the things you told me, Mark Lawrenson, during the year, that I wasn't to worry, that Leeds would survive, they have turned out to be, as I feared, utterly rubbish because of that damn Yank who got in charge last year instead of Bielsa and bought a whole load of crap players when Rafinha and Calvin Phillips left. How could you have misled me all year, Mark?
Well, I do like you, Matt, honestly. I did think when Garcia came in, I mean, obviously the results improved a little bit, and I kind of thought, you know what, they're actually going to be all right, but Bamford hasn't really scored. That's really been a problem. Still a good player as he is. But really, Matt, you know, defensively, I don't know off the top of my head how many goals they've conceded this season, but it seems to me like an awful lot.
Well, they've conceded 74 goals.
Well, there you go. You don't need me to speak anymore, because that really seriously tells the story. And, you know, the Palace game 5-1 when they won, and the Liverpool game, what was that, 6-1? If you're losing to those kind of teams and those kind of results, Matt, you have no confidence. It's absolutely on the floor. And I think Sam Allardyce has obviously tried to raise that a little bit to a certain degree. He's done okay, but I'm with you, I'm afraid. I think it's the last rites on Sunday.
See, Tony, isn't it a sign that you can't do things on the cheap in the Premier League? Because in the first season back under Bielsa, they came ninth. And that was when serious investment was probably needed, because players had overperformed, and apparently Bielsa said, I've gotten as much out of many of these players as I can. And instead they bought, God help us, Dan James from Manchester United and Junior Flippin' Firpo at left back, one of the worst I've ever fucking seen. Right? And they suffered because of it, and they sacked Bielsa and by miracle survived despite Marsh last year. Not because of him, as he claimed, but despite him, managed to survive last year. And then, as I said, sold Rafinha and Phillips, their two best players, which maybe had to happen, but bought a load of rubbish afterwards because of Marsh wanting to play a form of anti-football that went against everything of the principles that Bielsa had installed and that we all loved watching, when at least, even if they lost, they lost with some style.
Oh, that was a time soap there, Matt. That was brilliant. You get a lot wrong. I mean, look, Matt was a guy that had his team certainly in the palm of his hand for a while. They'd run through brick walls for him. Leeds lost that. You could easy to play against, and that's the goal against Colum. And, you know, people were listening now, which are older. Bielsa's team conceded a hell of a lot of goals as well. But you always had a go, Matt. You always took two teams. Do you know what, Matt? Last Sunday was really weird watching Leeds. You were fantastic for 20 minutes. You got bodies in the box. You were doing long throws, and McKennie was getting it in, and you got a great goal. The moment you went 1-0 up, you just went revert to type. You just tried to hang on. You know, Sam was trying to hang on to a game. I thought you lost the golden opportunity at West Ham. The story, Matt, you've named all the players. Look, recruitment's not been great. You live and die by your recruitment. Leeds didn't get it right. To this day, Matt, I've always argued that I would never have got rid of Bielsa. I would have stayed with him to the end of the season, at least, Matt. I think he earned the right and the stripes on his T-shirt for, you know, what he achieved at Leeds.
But isn't Sam Allardyce some bluffer at the same time as well? Because one of the things, the week Bamford missed the penalty against Newcastle, his excuse was, well, you know, that was the way things were done before we came in here, and I didn't change it. The whole reason Allardyce was brought in was to change things. Would you have thought, Tony, that he would have had enough cop to know that Bamford had been missing penalties, hadn't been on form, and that Rodrigo was the guy who should have been the penalty? How can he actually... And then last week, he starts giving out about the subs not being good enough. So starting, first of all, about taking the pressure off the players by saying, I'm as good a coach as Guardiola, Klopp or Arteta, suddenly he's by the three games in, oh, my players aren't good enough.
Matt, I'll tell you a quick word about Sam as describes him. I was playing at Gillingham. I was 19 years old, and he was playing for Millwall. He's a centre-half, an experienced centre-half. He had a white suit on. He turned up at Preachfield, which is Gillingham Stadium. And I was in the tunnel. And before the game, he went, goes onto the pitch, walks past me, puts his foot, stamps in the ground, tests it, see what it's like, the pitch, turns around, walks back. And as he comes back past me, points to me and went, "See you at 3 o'clock. And walked past and walked on. He had this white suit, Matt, and I laughed. I laughed at him at that time. He's never, ever got away from that ego of, you know, it's about me at this particular time. I'm, you know, the real thing. And look, he's done some really good things in football, but I'm just not sure if, you know, what I thought Sam would do. You still considered what, Matt? He's 3 games he's been there, 7 goals. That was something you wouldn't, you know... ever have dreamt of the big Sam. He always prides himself on defending, and it's backfired, Matt. It really has. And he hasn't really, for me, he hasn't installed anything in the team.
Yeah, no, so Leicester are at home to West Ham. And Mark, I suspect, even though West Ham came back and beat Leeds last week, they've got a European final next week. Leicester must have a great chance, despite their poor recent form, of winning that. In which case, Everton would have to beat Bournemouth, because Everton's goal difference is inferior to Leicester's. But surely, even without Don Calvert-Lewin, Everton just have that thing about them. They don't get relegated. Everton will do enough to stave off Leicester, won't they?
I'm with you, yeah, most definitely. We've talked about this before, fantastic home support. They'll all be in there. They'll make an absolute massive noise like they did for Frank last year when he was manager there, when they managed to avoid relegation on that particular time. Also, quite a few years ago, did the same against Wimbledon. I just think that Everton will win that by hook or by crook. They've got Bournemouth who... You know, they can go out there and play nice, free, open football. But, you know, if the tackles start flying about, they won't be involved in it, Bournemouth. They'll be like, oh, hold on, I'm not getting injured and spending half my time in this when I should be in the sun, actually, on the treatment table. So I do think they'll win. I mean, Leicester did all right at Newcastle the other night, hang on and got a draw. But no, I see Everton going through, Matt. Well, say obviously staying up, as it were.
OK, one final one, Tony. Chelsea. Beaten 4-1 at Manchester United last night. Lampard got the boot out of Everton, bizarrely gets the call up at Chelsea. It has been something of a disaster, and it looks like, unless results go their way at the weekend, they're going to be the lowest ranked team in London in this year's Premier League after spending all that money. I mean, what does that say about the players and the setup at Chelsea?
Well, the setup and the players, Matt, they had an idea, and it was to bring in the youngest and brightest talent in Europe and, you know, spend lots of money, but that would be the team in the future. And well, that got lost along the way because they changed manager, Graham Potter was there, and now obviously when Frank's taken over. Do you know the biggest thing I find really strange about Frank? The team selection last night, you've taken Thiago Silva and Koulibaly to Manchester United and put them on the bench, one 33 and the other one 37, Matt. And you're playing these kids, but that's a get-out-of-jail card. He doesn't need to play kids. You play your best team and try and get results, so for me. Even if the game's irrelevant for Chelsea. Because there was an argument, oh, we're playing players, all the young lads, yeah, it's great, we'll see what... You find out what... Mark will tell you this. You find out what young lads are about in pre-season. You play them in pre-season games, you might go, one or two of these are in the squad. For next season, I'm going to use some of these. But to use them in Premier League games when he couldn't buy a win, well, I think it's scandalous, Matt. That's a terrible way of managing for me. And look, what's happened since? He can't buy a goal in his team. You look at them, the league goal. I mean, last night, Matt, it could have easily been 8-3. I mean, and he talks about, well, we had chances in the first half. Did you see how many chances Man United had in the second, Matt? Every time they went forward, they looked like they'd score.
We got to leave it there. Tony Cascarino and Mark Lawrenson, thank you. Odd, as a listener here, is definitely trying to troll me, saying Leeds would have stayed up if they'd kept Marsh as manager. Not a chance.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM. Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, It's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times. And stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in. But you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.